All right, before we get started in this workshop, I want to give you my qualifications for talking about debate, which are very few. I didn't even observe a debate until last year. So I'm going to be giving you this workshop from the perspective of a plain mother who has been learning debate along with her kids. And I'm going to show you how you can teach yourself debate at home. All right. This is not going to be I'm not talking from the standpoint of a professional debate coach or tutor or anything like that, just a plain mom. All right, debate is doable. It's similar to learning a foreign language. And if you know anything about learning a foreign language, you have to learn the vocabulary and the grammar, and it's little bit that you become accustomed to the terminology. And once you become accustomed to the terminology and the vocabulary, then you can learn debate. Debate is a contest where two or more speakers present their arguments intent on persuading one another. So we're going to limit our discussion of debate to formal debate, contest debating. The first question that usually comes up in people's mind when they're talking about debate is, why would anyone want to get involved in debate? Because there is a lot of work that goes along with debate, and why would anyone want to get involved in it? There are numerous benefits to the student in debate. And I'm going to read some quotes first. The first one is John Stuart Mill. He's a 19th century English philosopher and economist. In his autobiography, he said, "I have always dated from these conversations," what he meant by that is in a discussion group similar to the ideal debate squad meeting, "my own inauguration as an original and independent thinker." John F. Kennedy, "I think debating in high school and college is most valuable training, whether for politics, the law, business, or for service on community committees, such as the PTA. A good debater must not only study material in support of his own case, but he must also, of course, thoroughly analyze the expected argument of his opponent." Raul D. Kennedy, he was an attorney in San Francisco, said, "I truly believe I would have been as prepared for law school had I simply debated and not attended college at all. I have found that the practice of law consists basically of trying to solve problems in an organized manner." And Richard Swiker, who's a former Pennsylvania congressman and senator, he said, "Debate trained me to analyze and articulate the complex national issues that confront our country today. My intercollegiate debate training was the most valuable experience that I had." And Aristotle said, "If it is a disgrace to a man when he cannot defend himself in a bodily way, it would be absurd not to think him disgraced when he cannot defend himself with reason in speech." Thomas Hosduke, who is another attorney, "The wisest advice I can give to persons considering debate as an activity is participate. In my opinion, hour for hour, the reward for time spent debating is greater than any other activity available to the typical student." Now here's an interesting quote from Jane Pauley. You all know who she is, national TV news anchor. She said, "I didn't make varsity cheerleader. I thought my life was over. I ended up joining the speech team instead. And within a year, I became very good. My event was girls extemporaneous speaking. They would give you a topic, and a half hour later, you made a 7-minute speech on it. By my senior year, I was state champion, and I made it to the semifinals of the national competition. The 6 girls who were ranked ahead of me are probably all arguing cases before the Supreme Court." And it's very interesting because one of those 6 girls is a homeschool mother. She's been homeschooling for the last 25 years in Indiana. She leads some of the speech and debate activities in Indiana. Paul Kanjorski, Pennsylvania congressional representative, said, "It was my experience with debating and public speaking in both high school and college that led me to become a lawyer and ultimately a member of Congress." So these are some quotes of people who value debate, and I wanted to show you some of their opinions. Now let's go over some of the benefits of debate. There are three benefits to debate. All right, three main benefits. Number one, the student debater learns to use a library and conduct research. This is very, very important, and they will certainly learn this. Research on a debate topic is comprehensive. It starts with general reading and skillful note-taking, and it continues throughout the entire season and becomes more specific as special needs are realized. Every resource of the library becomes familiar to the debater. The student becomes skilled at doing research on the Internet. The research activity also includes conducting interviews and sending out letters to individuals and organizations concerned with your debate topic. The debater learns to differentiate between fact and opinion. He learns that not all evidence is of equal merit, nor are any two facts or opinion of the same importance, and he develops an ability to organize material and to be thorough and accurate. So your child is going to learn to do research, and this is very important for later studies in anything he wants to study. You're going to want to start with the local library, your local public library, small library. If you don't know how to do research, you start there and you become familiar with doing research in your local library. Then you're going to want to go to a college library. I'm trying to think of college library. What would be one you have? Grandview College Library? Here. Drake. Okay. Go there and become familiar with their library. It's a step up. And then you want to get to the point where you can go to the University of the Ames Library, the university there, or the University of Iowa Library, which is where we do our research. And so they will become familiar with doing research at the big university library. They will be familiar with going from different departments, talking to the different people, using the computer. That will be your goal. Does anybody have any questions so far on just the things I've been talking about on research? Okay. Number two, debate develops critical thinking ability. Critical thinking is sort of a broad term that can have negative implications today. I'm going to use the term critical thinking to mean this: analyzing problems, selecting and examining evidence, interpreting data, determining logical relationships, testing reasoning, reaching conclusions, and selecting appropriate language. That's what critical thinking means, or logic. It's another word for it. I would suggest that before your student starts studying debate, that he takes a course in logic. And there's one book that I have found that is very good, and it's called Critical Thinking. There's a book one and book two. It's published by Critical Thinking Press. And if he could go through one of those books, the first book at least, that will help him out in his debating. There's also a book called Critical Thinking in United States History that would be beneficial for the student to go through also. And it teaches the student how to analyze source documents. We talked about this in our seminar on the trivium. But when you're reading something that someone wrote, you need to read it critically. Does the author have a bias? You need to look at his footnotes and those sorts of things. And that's what this book, Critical Thinking in U.S. History, will do. Two studies done in 1949 and 1971 conclude that critical thinking ability is significantly improved by courses in debate and by debate experience itself. Former Senator Dick Clark of Iowa said, "The principal value of debate lies in the development of logical thought processes, the ability to articulate your positions publicly." And a similar statement was made by a Representative Charles Bennett of Florida. "Debate not only improves one's ability to speak publicly, but improves the thinking process of the debater." Now, closely tied with critical thinking ability is critical listening ability. All right, the opportunities for critical listening are almost unlimited in debate. When you're in a debate, your opponent will be talking rather fast, and you have to be able to hear him and sort out his arguments and analyze them all at the same time. So he's going to learn to think quickly. He's going to be listening for hasty conclusions, alertness to the significance of evidence, making observations about things said or left unsaid, either on purpose or by mistake. Many debates fall apart in the cross-examination period and in rebuttal simply because the debater has not been a good critical listener and a critical thinker. These critical listening and critical thinking skills will develop, and they'll improve over years of debate study. So if you have a student who doesn't think critically or listen critically, don't think that he can't participate in debate, because he's going to learn those as he goes along, and you can learn those things also as you go. Experience in academic debate could be a peak period for critical thinking in one's lifetime of learning. All right, the third benefit of debate is debate improves the ability to communicate. He learns to present ideas in a clear and effective manner and in a way which wins others to his way of thinking. He learns to think under pressure, to use his head in a time of need, make decisions quickly and accurately. And the essential point in any debating situation is that of convincing your listener to your side of the proposition. Another thing that might be beneficial before you start debate is to take a course in speech. Do you have any opportunities like that here in Des Moines? Speech classes, homeschool speech classes, anything like that? Perhaps you could start something like that maybe in the fall. And in a speech class, they'll learn to just give speeches in front of people, and they won't have to do the debating at the same time. So if they can take a speech course first, that might be beneficial. So in a word, debate is basically the ultimate mind exercise. All right, let's talk about the types of debate. There are several types of high school and college debate. There are several types. In this seminar, I'm going to discuss only two types, and then we're going to go into detail on one type. All right. Any questions so far of what I've talked about? Yes?
The definition of critical thinking.
Okay. Analyzing problems, selecting and examining evidence, interpreting data, determining logical relationships, testing reasoning, reaching conclusions, and selecting appropriate language. All right, the first type of debate, I'm just going to talk a little bit about this first type of debate. It's called Lincoln-Douglas debate. It's also called value debate. It's modeled after the namesake for the activity, Abraham Lincoln and Douglas. In an Illinois election in the mid-1800s, Abraham Lincoln and Stephen Douglas debated the slavery issue before audiences in different towns around the state. And this type of debate is named after those types of debates that they had. In Lincoln-Douglas debate, you'll have two contestants, one on the affirmative, one on the negative, and they will debate topics that are centered around moral issues or propositions of value or preference. So Lincoln-Douglas debate is called value debate. The types of topics, the types of things that they discuss are values. Here are some examples. This was the 1996 topic. Resolved, when in conflict, a business's responsibility to itself ought to be valued above its responsibility to society. See, they're debating a value here. 1997, in United States policy, the principle of universal human rights ought to take precedence over conflicting national interest. This is a value that they're debating. Here's some other examples of topics. Topics and propositions, they're the same thing. I'll use the words interchangeably. Topics or propositions. This is a topic, this is a proposition, this is a proposition here. Here's some other Lincoln-Douglas propositions. Capital punishment. See, it's a value. You're going to be debating the value of capital punishment. Abortion, euthanasia. You see that you're debating a value. Now, typically, all public and all private schools in the United States will debate the same topic, the same proposition. A new proposition in Lincoln-Douglas debate is chosen every 2 months. And this topic is chosen by some government school organization. So every 2 months they change topics here. And they'll have tournaments for 2 months and debate that one topic, and then the next 2 months they'll debate another topic. All the government schools and all the private schools. Okay, now, and it's one person on the negative, one on the affirmative. Now, cross-examination debate, this is the other type of debate. This is what I'm going to spend most of the morning talking about. This is also called policy debate, or team debate. In this type of debate, there are two teams of two students each, two on the affirmative, two on the negative. One team will be representing the affirmative position, and one will be representing the negative position. And the topics are different than in Lincoln Douglas debate. Here we have values. Here we're going to debate policy. There's a difference. Okay. And again, typically all public and private schools will debate the same topic all year long in cross-examination debate. So in public and private schools, some government organization picks the topic, and all year long they debate that one topic from September through May. Now here are some of the examples of past topics. This was in 1931. Resolved that chain stores are detrimental to the best interests of the American public. In 1937, all electric utilities should be governmentally owned and operated. 1940, the federal government should own and operate the railroads. 1943, a federal world government should be established. So they were debating that topic in 1943. The government school topic for 1996-1997 school year was resolved that the federal government should establish a program to substantially reduce juvenile crime in the United States. Do you see the difference between these two topics? This, we're talking about a policy. The government should do something. The government should pass some laws to do something. And here we're talking about the value of something. We're talking philosophy up in Lincoln Douglas. We're talking about policy. Any questions about the difference between these two? Okay. Now this is the type of debate, cross-examination debate, that will be used in the National Homeschool Debate Tournaments. They haven't got into Lincoln-Douglas debate yet. We're hoping they do. In fact, in Illinois, we are going to do some Lincoln-Douglas debating. But as far as the national tournament with homeschool legal defense, it's only going to be cross-examination debate. Now you'll notice that all the propositions, all the topics, are worded a specific way. They have to be worded just exactly a specific way. It will be worded in a way such that some kind of a change in public policy, now I'm going to be talking about this, or in public policy or government policy is called for. The proposition is calling for some change in the way things currently are. It's calling for some change in the status quo. Okay, let's look at this one here. The federal government should establish a program to substantially reduce juvenile crime in the U.S. The topic is such that we want a change. Crime, there's too much crime now, so we need to have a government policy to reduce juvenile crime. So the affirmative will be saying, yes, I believe that the federal government should establish a program to substantially reduce juvenile crime. They want a change in the status quo. They don't like the status quo. They don't like the way things are. The affirmative wants a change. The negative says, no, I don't think the federal government should establish a policy to substantially reduce juvenile crime. We want things just the way they are. Leave the status quo the way it is. So the affirmative says yes, the negative says no, leave things the way they are. Okay, now. There are two things that you have to study if you want to participate in debate. Two things. First are the principles and theory of debate, and then the current debate topic. What I mean by the principles and theory of debate is you have to understand what is debate and how to debate. And you have to understand the terminology and the procedures and everything. Here is the book that you would want to get started with. It's called An Introduction to Argumentation and Debate by Christy Ferris. That's Michael Ferris's daughter. She wrote this, and you can get this through HSLDA. They also have a video that goes along with it. And I would recommend starting here with the video and the book. I think it's $20 or $30 for the video and the book. this gives you just a taste of what debate is, of the theory about debate. It'll start introducing you to the topics, to the terminology. And then after you read a book like this a couple times, then you're going to want to get a couple other debate books. And on your handout, we list one book, Strategic Debate, which I like, and you can get that probably at your library, or you can order it through Home Education Text Book Source. Or you can go to your library and just find some general books on debate, and I tell you here where you can find them at the library. Old textbooks on debate are very good. Now, let me warn you, when you first start this, when you read this book, if you're like me, it just was so overwhelming. The terminology, it was just like reading a Latin book. It was very hard to understand because I didn't understand any of the words, any of the terminology. Okay, just accept that that's what's going to happen. So you read it, and then you read it again. And then you might read it again. You might take some notes. It's over time, little by little. Remember, you're learning a foreign language. Little by little, you're going to learn the terminology. And it's going to take you several months to become familiar with the debate theory and the principles of debate. Don't worry about getting overwhelmed. Just keep at it, little by little. Okay, I'll just go over a little bit about what you do during a tournament. Here is a tournament. I drew this. Okay, here is the judge sitting up front. There usually is just one judge. At the final, there'll be three judges on a final tournament. Here's the podium. Here's the negative team. First negative, second negative. One is always the first negative. They're called the first negative. The first negative has certain chores, certain jobs, certain responsibilities, and the second negative has certain responsibilities. So they choose which is which somewhere at the beginning of the season. And here you have the affirmative team, and they're sitting down chairs, and this is a table. Here you have the first affirmative. Here you have the second affirmative. All right, now, the tournament starts. Judge turns on his timer. Everything is timed very closely. First affirmative gets up here, and he has 8 minutes to give what's called the first affirmative constructive. Now, he has written this out ahead of time. Word for word, it's all written out. This is an easy job, this first speech, because it's all written out. And he has certain things that he has to accomplish in that first affirmative constructive, and I'm not going to get into that because it'll confuse you. Certain things that he has to accomplish and say. Okay, then when he's done, 8 minutes, then the second negative comes up there with him and cross-examines him for 3 minutes. That just means he asks him questions about what did you say, what did you mean by this, what was this evidence, what was the source of your evidence, trying maybe to catch him on something. Very friendly. You keep it friendly. If they start getting mean, then they get docked speaker points. So everything's friendly. Supposed to be, anyway. Okay, then they both sit down. And then the first negative. Okay, now while that first affirmative is up there giving his speech, remember he's the affirmative, and he wants a change in the status quo. He wants things changed. So he's going to come up with a plan to change things. Now, the negative is sitting there, what is his plan going to be? Because they have no idea what his plan is going to be. It could be a million different things. Now, usually it's not a million, but there'll be several different plans he could come up with. So the first negative, when the first affirmative starts giving his plan, they're up here going through their boxes, and they have lots of boxes of evidence, trying to figure out how they're going to counter that plan, because they will have determined ahead of time what plans there are possible, and how they're going to counter those different plans. So there goes, oh, it's this plan. So they're going to go through all their boxes and find out how they're going to counter that plan. So, okay, they sit down. Now the first negative comes up and gives his first negative constructive, which is 8 minutes. And it's usually not written out because he won't know exactly what this guy is going to say. So he has to pull some things together. That's where you have to think very fast. And I tell you, it's hard. I couldn't do it. I know I couldn't do it. So he's got 8 minutes to do his. All right, then, the judge is timing all this. Okay, when he's done, then the first affirmative comes up there and cross-examines him for 3 minutes. All right, then they sit down, and then the second affirmative comes up here, and he has 8 minutes to give his constructive speech. And what he will do is he will add more to what the first guy said, add more evidence, re-say some of the points, and he'll start to counter some of this negative guy's arguments. He must address everything, every argument this guy brings up. If you don't address everything, that's called dropping an argument, and you get points knocked off for that. So you have to address it, or at least say that it sounds stupid or something. You know, you have to address everything. So, and then when he's done with his 8 minutes, then the first negative comes up and cross-examines him for 3 minutes. They sit down. And then the second negative comes up, and he has 8 minutes to do his negative constructive, and he will add more arguments against what their plan was. He will add more. They try not to repeat each other. They try to do different things. And then he will be cross-examined by the second affirmative for 3 minutes. Okay, now they've all given their constructive speeches. Now the rebuttal comes. They each have 5 minutes to give a rebuttal. The first negative gives his rebuttal first for 5 minutes. And he will have more arguments against their plan. And then the first affirmative gives his rebuttal. And then the second negative gives his rebuttal for 5 minutes. And the second affirmative. All right. Now, in between here, each team has what's called prep time. I think there's 6 minutes. Each team gets 6 minutes here, 6 minutes here. They can take their prep time whenever they want. They'll say to the judge, I want 2 minutes of prep time. That means if they're not ready, they have a few minutes to prepare something. They'll frantically look through their notes or write, scribble things down or whatever. So they have 6 minutes each of prep time. Now, any questions on that so far? Yes.
So basically,
the proposition.
Both
because in a tournament, there'll be, okay, what I just told you is called one round. And in a tournament, there will be 6 rounds. A team will have to be negative 3 of the rounds and affirmative 3 of the rounds. And you will not know which you do first, but you have to be totally prepared for both sides. Yes?
During that prep time, do they get both their heads together?
Yes, they can talk. Yes. Any other? Yes? Yes, now that's the other, that's called flowing the argument, and you get a piece of a pad of legal-sized paper, you know, those yellow pads that are 8.5 by 14, and you fold it in a certain way. I should have brought that along. You fold it in a certain way, and you learn to flow the argument, and this is very important, note-taking. You have to learn to write very fast. It's horribly hard. And you write down, as the first affirmative is speaking, the negative team has to write down what is their plan, what is their evidence, and you have to write down very fast, because they're speaking at a normal fast rate. And each time somebody speaks, you have to flow the argument. It's called flowing the argument. And you learn how to do that in debate. And it takes a good year to figure out how to do that at all. And the judge is flowing the argument also. So he can keep track of who drops an argument and who's going to win. All right, so that's another thing you learn in debate is how to flow the argument. Any other questions so far? Okay. All right, that just gives you an idea of a debate tournament. So what will happen is in Iowa, let's say what we did in Illinois, is we had our own state tournament. Each state will have their own tournament, and then the winning team, or maybe there'll be one or two teams, depending on how big the state is, they will go to the national tournament, and that will be in Washington, D.C., and it's going to be in 2 weeks. And then they will determine who is the national champion. All right. Yes.
Now, is that just within homeschoolers, or is it competing against?
Just homeschoolers, because public and private schools have their own topic.
Okay.
We have our own topic, and it will probably always be different than the public school state is. They will go to the national tournament, and that will be in Washington, D.C., and it's going to be in 2 weeks. And then they will determine who is the national champion. All right. Yes.
Now, is that just within homeschoolers, or is it competing against?
Just homeschoolers, because public and private schools have their own topic.
Okay.
We have our own topic, and it will probably always be different than the public school topic. The public school topics tend to be politically correct topics now, and HSLDA wants to pick a topic that has two conservative sides. That's their goal. So, because some parents don't like their children debating on the side of, that is wrong. That's one of the problems that some people have with Lincoln-Douglas debate, value debate. You'll probably never see a homeschooler debating an abortion issue, the abortion topic, because parents don't want their children debating on the side of abortion when you're talking about values. So if we do Lincoln-Douglas debate, we're going to have to be very careful and pick a topic that has two conservative sides, such as capital punishment. You've got Christians on both sides of that topic. Violence at abortion clinics. You have Christians on both sides of the topic. It'll be hard to pick a Lincoln-Douglas topic. All right, any more questions on that part? Yes? A tournament? A long time. Like six rounds. It's qualifying. Well, no, there'll be several teams, and you'll have different debates going on at the same time. But they will, each team will debate three times on the affirmative and three times on the negative. And there'll be many. It depends on how many teams there are. In Illinois, we had five teams at our tournament. Usually they like at least eight teams at a tournament. So you have six qualifying rounds, and that takes a debate. A debate round usually takes about an hour and a half. So you can see that takes a good day. And then from the six qualifying rounds, you determine the four top teams. I think it's four, or no, the top eight teams. And then you have the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and the finals. So there's three more rounds, and that's usually the next day. It's a long time. And then if you combine a speech tournament with the debate tournament, which is what we did in Illinois, that makes it even more complicated and long. All right, now let's discuss some of the principles. We talked about the principles and theory of debate. Okay, let me make sure I covered everything. All right, the topic will be released. The topic that's going to be coming up for this next year will be released at the national tournament in a couple weeks. If you want to find out what it is, you can check our webpage. We'll put that up as soon as we know. And our webpage is listed here. So they're going to release that topic in it'll be June, and then you'll have all summer to start studying it, and then probably in September or October, the tournaments will start, hopefully. The public schools actually get their topic announced in January of the year that they're going to be debating, starting in September. So they get more of an advance than we do. All right. Now, the other thing that you have to study and debate is the topic. And that's going to take you the longest amount of time. You have to know everything there is to know about that topic. All right. Now, usually when people see the topic, okay, the topic for this year was, I can remember it now, the Congress should enact laws which something about reduce the, prohibit relocation of U.S. businesses to foreign countries. All right, now, when you hear that topic, what do you think? Does your mind just jam and you think, relocation of foreign businesses, relocation of U.S. businesses to foreign countries. Congress should not let that happen. Okay, where do you start? Questions, where do you start? The topic last year was Congress should change their foreign intervention policy or something. Okay, where do you start for something like that? What I want to do is to give you some ideas on how to research any topic. All right, first you're going to gather background information about your topic. You want to go just the general background information. Don't let the topic confuse you or overwhelm you. You will learn it little by little, believe me. We did, and so I know you can do it. It's very difficult, but little by little you can do it. You want to sit down with your family. If you can make this a family affair, I think that's very good. If you can get all the brothers and sisters involved, that's good. Sit down with your family and your debate partner. You got to find a debate partner. Okay, that's why I like Lincoln Douglas, because you don't have to have a partner. Homeschooling, that would be ideal. You got to find a debate partner. Sit down with your family and debate partner and brainstorm on the topic. Do you know what brainstorming is? That's where you just sit down, somebody acts as a secretary, and everybody just throws out ideas, and somebody writes them down, and nobody says that's a stupid idea. Every idea that you have, you just throw out and you write it down. So you're just checking your mind for everything you know about this topic. You brainstorm. List all the different arguments you can think of on all the different sides of the topic. List people, experts, who might be able to help you with the topic. Write to those people asking for some general information. Now, when you write, at this point, you won't even know what to ask for. So you're going to ask for some general information on the topic. Later, you might want to write again to the same people and ask for more specific information when you can figure out what exactly it is you want to know. You start reading for background information. So this topic for this year was economics. So you're going to want to take sort of a mini course in economics. You're going to want to become familiar with all the terms in economics and all that. And if you're like me, we never studied economics in our family ever before this year. So you want to get a good general knowledge of the topic. You need to study the historical background of the topic and why this topic is a matter of current interest. The reading order should be from general to specific, from background to present day facts and figures, from books and to magazines and newspapers. So naturally, in studying a question, one will use all of those resources more or less at the same time, but for real understanding of the broader aspects, one needs to background material early on. So you want to get some general ideas. Don't be going for the specific things at the beginning. General ideas. And I would suggest going to the reference section of the library, because at the reference section of the library, you have all the very best books on the different topics. Go to your small local library first. Go to the economics section for an economics book and just generally read about economics. If the topic was military, you'd go to the military section and read for the general military. If it was on health, you'd go to the health section. Then you go to your college library and read some reference materials there, some general books. And then you go to your university library. Okay, we suggest that you read one general book that would take the affirmative position and one general book that would take the negative position, so you get a wide range of views on the positions. We suggest you subscribe to a good newspaper. Now, we didn't subscribe to a newspaper, and I don't like a daily newspaper coming in, so what we did was we subscribed to the Washington Times Weekly Edition. It's a conservative newspaper. It only comes in once a week, but you get a broad idea of what happened throughout the week, because you're not going to need to keep up with current events in debate. Debate is all current events. Now, at the same time that you're doing this basic background research, and I would suggest here an hour a day, 5 days a week is a good amount of time to spend on debating, reading, and research, at least an hour a day. Some kids really like debate, and so they're going to spend a lot of time. And if they do want to spend a lot of time researching, I'd let them do it. I'd let them go for it. You're going to be also meeting with your debate partner once a week. These are just some general ideas for about an hour and a half. Continuing to brainstorm, share your research that you've done, talking about communicating with them all the different things that you've learned. So you continually talk and research. Now, in public schools, they have an advantage over us because they'll have a debate team of maybe 20 students. And the debate coach will say, all right, I want you to go to the New York Times and find all the data on our topic. I want you to go to U.S. News and World Report and find out all the data. I want you to do this. So they'll divide it up, they'll make copies and share it with everybody. With homeschool debate, usually it's just a couple kids and they have to do the whole thing. So we're kind of at a disadvantage there, but that's okay. We're still going to learn. Okay, this is very important. You want to write to your two U.S. senators and your U.S. representative at the very beginning. Ask them for information. Ask them to do, they're paid to do it. This is their job, and they have to do it. And if they don't do it, you call them back again until they do it. And they have access to what's called the Congressional Report, which is a very good resource for you. There's a librarian in Washington, D.C., whose job is to look up these things. And so you ask them to do research on your topic and send you what they have. You'll get a whole... I sent to Carol Mosley Braun. She sent me a big packet of information. So you should get a lot... Grassley's office should give you a lot of information. Do that early because it takes them a while to do this research. You will want to write to these... Okay... You also might want to write to any specific senator or representative who has a special interest in your area. It might not be your own senator or representative, but you can find out which representative or senator is on a special committee for, say, economics or whatever. Now, don't let the topic overwhelm you. Remember, little by little, you're going to learn it. It's like learning a foreign language. You can't expect to translate from Latin to English in a couple of months. It takes diligence and patience. And over time, you're going to master the subject. Any other questions so far? What we talked about? Yes? In Iowa, you mean? Right now, Iowa doesn't have anything going on with debate. They need someone to head it up. Is anybody here interested? They need someone. And... you can decide for yourself if you want to do Lincoln-Douglas debate. No, because there isn't anybody. See, Homeschool Legal Defense isn't involved in Lincoln-Douglas debate. So what I think we're going to do, I'm interested in it, Illinois. The Minnesota debate is interested in it. There's other states that are interested. We'll probably get together and determine a topic. So if you have any ideas, input, give it to me later, okay? And we'll probably decide on a topic, and we might have our own tournament sometime. But Homeschool Legal Defense only does the policy debate. Yes?
How do you pick your judges?
You have to network. That's what we're doing on our webpage. You'll find all the states listed. And as soon as somebody comes forward saying, I'm willing to be a debate judge, we put them on our webpage under the different states. Iowa has nobody. There's nothing listed for Iowa right now. So if you're interested in being a debate judge, contact us and we'll put you on our webpage and contact Niche, and they will get you in touch with whoever else is in the state is interested in debate.
What would be requirements?
The only requirement for your tournament, state tournament, Homeschool Legal Defense has written out the requirements. And I believe with debate, you have to be 18 years old. And I don't think there's anything else except for the final round. You have to be a debate, have had experience in debate to judge the final round. But otherwise, plain mothers and fathers can just judge. Now, they don't like that. The kids don't like that. They would prefer having someone who knows what they're doing, but it happens all the time in government school and private schools. They'll grab some parent and say, here, judge this debate tournament, this round, because they're hard to find. Judges are hard to find. They're called lay judges, and good debaters will find out if it's a lay judge or if it's a professional judge, and they'll debate accordingly, because a lay judge won't understand about plan and solvency and all those different things. So they just judge accordingly. It's just part of it. Yes. That's ideal, but it's not required. This book? Okay. That's what a professional judge or a coach will be doing that. But when you have a tournament, you won't be able to find that many qualified judges, and so it's not required. But it's ideal if you have some experience. Okay. You want to contact the think tanks. You know what a think tank is? That would be like the Cato Institute. There are numerous think tanks. These are private organizations that will study certain topics. And they all have web pages, and you can link up to their web page. If you check our web page, we link to a lot. There's a lot of information they have that you can get. All right, you want to call your local college or university and speak to the head of the department of the area you're studying. So if your topic is military, you would talk to the head of the political science department. If your topic is economics, you'll talk to the head of the economics department. Ask the head of the department, tell him what your topic is, and ask him, pray first before you do this, and ask him for the names of any professors who would have a special expertise in your topic. Get 3 or 4 names. All right, they're glad. Often you'll find people that are glad to do this. And then set up interviews with these 3 or 4 professors. You can get a lot of good information from, usually they'll be on the liberal side, depends on what college you go to, but tape record the interviews, come prepared with a list of your questions, limit your interview to about an hour, and just pray that the Lord leads you to the right person. We went to the University of Iowa, and I went into the economics department, my son and his partner and I, and I went to the board that had the pictures of all the professors of economics, and I found the ones that looked friendly. And then we went into their room, and we got one woman who was glad to talk to us, and she gave us a lot of information, but got her email and was able to communicate with her by email. You want to subscribe to this is something that really helped us. Subscribe to an email mailing list that is on the subject of your topic. For this year's topic, it was economics. So, and you can find all these email mailing lists. We link to them on our webpage. I found a mailing list called Political Economics. All right. It consisted of hundreds of very smart people all over the United States who study political economics. So what I did was I subscribed to it. And then I asked a question. I said, a question from homeschooling student. And I told them our topic, and I asked a question. Oh, I got so much material, you wouldn't believe it, from Cuba, from all over the world. They even had discussions among themselves about their answers to me. And it was very interesting. You can get a lot of good information, good arguments. Okay, any questions so far? All right.
Did this seem as overwhelming to you at the beginning?
Oh, yes.
Right now?
Oh, yes. Oh, very overwhelming. I just about dropped the whole thing. It was very, because I don't think very logically. I would never be able to debate. Never. Now, I can sort of help them along and show them how to research. I started out as debate coach. It quickly deteriorated to debate chauffeur. Because my two boys, they basically did it all on their own. After I got them started, showed them the material, how to research and all that, it was very overwhelming to me.
Did they take to it like that?
Yes, they did. Yeah. Although my son did not want to do this at all. He's 18. He was 17 when we started. He did not want to do it. And my two daughters did not want to do it at all. They were 14 and 16. But I made them keep on going. Now, about January, I let the girls go. I decided if the topic had been crochet versus knitting, they would have kept on. But they didn't. I let them drop out. We're going to start up again in the fall. But my boy did not like it. But I'll tell you, he loved it at the end. He absolutely loved it. And he's a boy. He's what we called a late bloomer, or he isn't very interested in things academically. He's not like my other kids, and he really liked it. So I'm very thankful that we pursued it. But it was overwhelming to me. And still it is. I could never judge yet. I'm not ready to judge. I can do some research, and I can understand some of the terminology, but it was just little by little we're doing it. Yes?
What grade level did you begin at?
You can start at age 13. Mm-hmm. You can't be 19 to participate in the tournaments. Now, I'm looking into, because I want my boy to participate, I'm looking into starting something with the 18 to 19 to 22 bracket, maybe a separate category that they can debate, because there's lots of homeschool kids in that area that might want to participate in debate. See, we have to finish at 11:30 here. All right. Now, secondly, you're going to want to prepare a comprehensive bibliography on your topic. As you're researching, if a book or article is recommended to you, write it down, write down the site of it, and start to prepare your comprehensive bibliography. Now, bibliography is a list of books, pamphlets, magazine articles, government documents, newspaper articles, and other printed matter in which information may be found on a given subject. You will be preparing your bibliography on your debate topic. Now, we have, if you look at our webpage, you'll see we have a very large bibliography that I compiled and I put on the webpage to help people out. I compiled it all throughout the year. To find books or magazine articles relevant to your topic, you can do a keyword search at your library. You're going to have to learn to use the computer and to do searches on the computer. That's very important. Check the bibliographies at the end of any book you read. You may want to use some of their sources. Generally speaking, you don't want a book or an article that's older than 3 years. Because when you're debating anything older than 3 years, your opponent will say, that's old data, I think we ought to disregard that, and so you're getting into iffy ground there. So try and keep it pretty current. To find newspaper articles, you'll have to search the index for each particular newspaper. We have found it useful to work on preparing your bibliography while at home using the Internet. You can log on to the card catalogs of nearly any library in the United States and do your research in the unhurried atmosphere of your own home. The World Wide Web is a valuable source for preparing your bibliography. If you're not online, I would suggest getting online for that. If you're going to be in debate, it's almost it's very necessary. Now, using your bibliography, number 3, you want to collect as much material as you can find. After you've listed all the references you can find on the topic, and of course you're going to be adding to it all the way through, you have to gather all that information now. And here's where the copy machine and the computer printer come in handy. Because you've been continuing to brainstorm with your family and your debate partner all along, you continue to brainstorm all along, as time progresses, you will have more and more of an idea of what materials are important to your topic and what materials are not necessary. At the beginning, you're not going to even know what sources to look up. That's why little by little you're going to figure all this out. Then you want to read and study the material that you've discovered. As you're securing all of the material available, you will read and study carefully the books and articles that you have found. Try to learn as much as you can about the subject and get the points of view of as many different authorities as possible. Be on the lookout for new ideas and new suggestions for arguments on both sides of the topic. You want to look for specific items of evidence which might be used as proof. See, when the when these guys are up here doing their debate, he can't just assert something. He has to back it up with evidence. So he's going to say, so-and-so says this, and I got it from U.S. News and World Report 1997. This is a quote from him. Okay, so you're going to have evidence to back up everything you say. That's where the research comes in. Okay. Now, I'm not going to go into how you organize. Remember I said they come with all these tubs of data? You've got to organize all that data, and I'm not going to go into that in detail because that would take a long time, but basically you'll have a sheet, an evidence sheet. It's called a card. It's a piece of paper. Long ago they used to do it on 5x7 cards, but today they do it on sheets of paper, and they'll put usually 2 pieces of evidence on each piece of paper, and they'll head it with what it is and where it came from, and you organize your data that way, and you'll put them all in files, and you'll have your affirmative arguments in one box and your negative arguments in the other box. You can see how it would be helpful to your children, can't you? Organizing, getting them to be organized, thinking things through. All right. I think we're about finished. Does anybody have any other questions?
Yes.
Yes. Right. Right. And
so how do you find out how reliable
it is? That is a good question. All right. In government school debates, they will quote U.S. News and World Report. Okay. In my opinion, that's a very liberal magazine, and you're not going to get anything reliable there. And it'll be just a staff writer for U.S. News and World Report, and they'll say, "This is evidence. This quote comes from that staff writer of U.S. News and World Report." Okay, the other side could say, what makes you think that that staff writer is any kind of a expert on this? And so he can argue that piece of evidence and the source. That's often done. It's better if your evidence comes from a professor. I mean, it sounds better if it's a professor of so-and-so, whatever. That's all part of debate. Deciding who is good evidence, who has a good piece of evidence, and is he biased? Of course, everybody's biased. You'd have to prove how somebody's biased and ask the judge to reject that piece of evidence. That's all part of debate. That's all part of learning to think critically. We don't just believe something because we read it. We have to analyze the source. And you're teaching your children to do that when they're young. Yes. I would give them a course in logic, okay? If you can give them a course in speech also, that is helpful. Do a lot of reading, a lot of discussing. We also have what's called a homeschool speech and debate discussion loop, and we'll have articles on there on how to prepare your children. Read just a lot of reading, teaching them how to research when they're young. It's just a process. The earlier you start, the better. Yes? We did in Illinois. Well, they ran simultaneously. And because we only had a day and a half, you couldn't participate in both debate and speech. Now, the ideal thing is if they can participate in both if they want to. But we had four speech categories. I think it was original speech, interpretation. Original speech is where you get up and give a speech that you have written, the child has written. Interpretation is where they get up and read a poem or a story or something that someone else has written. And then there was declamation, that's where they get up and read a speech that someone else wrote, such as George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. And then there was interpretation and there was reading. And interpretation is more something like acting. I don't understand the difference so much. There's reading and then there's interpretation. You're performing something that someone else wrote. So we just had them, one room we had the speech categories, and one room we had the debate, a couple other rooms. Mm-hmm. All right, I guess we're going to have to stop here. We are done. Any other questions? Yes? HSLDA? No, not yet. Not yet.
Okay, so that is just
right. Right. In our tournament, the debate winner, the debate team, the winning debate team went on to the nationals, but the winning speech contestants didn't go on to anything else. It was just to learn. What we hope to do next year is to have regional tournaments in Illinois that will be open to all states. And you probably something will be going on in Iowa. I would check with Niche. If you're who here is interested in debate, having their kids involved in debate? 13 to 18. Get some ideas. A couple people? Okay. I would just get together and start working together, network with each other. Subscribe to our email list, and we'll let people know who's interested in the different states, and you can contact each other. All right, well, thank you very much.